Radio Labyrinth is produced by fine people like yourself. And also, fine people like Mike Spidler, Sean Hall, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Chad Shepard, Leslie Norman, John Sutherland, Garrett Kemble, Mike D., Eric Malmstrom, Matt Carter, and Beth Van Elswick.
Why don't I believe you, Kamal?
Thought you were dead.
Cobra Kai never dies.
Ever since the tournament, all I've been thinking about are ways to destroy Cobra Kai.
But opening your own dojo? Are you sure you can balance that?
Balance is my thing.
Let me see it. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is it cute?
Yeah, it's so cute.
Send it to me.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, okay. Sending now. Okay. Look what I just posted. Brunch with these two dum-dums.
Oh, my gosh, so good. Is this good? I said Sunday Funday with these idiots.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. So cute.
Okay, so cute. Look what I just posted. Eating crap with these sacks of shit. If they died tomorrow, no one would shed a tear. So cute.
We're probably going to die soon. I ought to know what it's like before that happens.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the Red Woman. Take your own bloody pants off.
Please don't turn my hands into dicks. Whatever you do, I just don't want... Please!
Turn them into flaming dicks. The dicks are burned already. I am distracted. I'm sorry. They should have just been regular dicks. I'm sorry they're burnt.
So that's the war on terror.
Christmas is always potentially our busy season. So, Phil Leotardo, huh? Coronary?
I swear to God, I had nothing to do with that.
Just so you know, I'm still in touch with some agents who work OC. From what they hear, you're not very popular in Brooklyn right now.
So what else is new, huh?
That someone close to you may be in danger.
Really? Anybody specific?
All they know is, it's under serious discussion at top levels.
Here it comes to you, buddy.
Gary.
No!
You know what?
Oh, it's hot.
Let's do the gargle. Do the gargle. That's it.
Adriana LaServa, Special Agent Dwight Harris, FBI. I believe you two have already met.
Holy fucking shit.
Don't make a scene. You don't want to attract attention.
You're in the fucking FBI?
We need to talk, Aide. It'll only take a half hour, and I assure you it's in your best interest.
You come with us, please?
My dog.
It's okay. Just take her with you.
Yeah, good boy. You are so pretty. Yes, you are. Oh, you need a bath.
Wow.
Yeah, you can smell
that. Right?
It's like rancid.
Go back there and lick his butthole.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you.
What breed is he?
Oh, he's mixed. He's half me and half some poor unlucky labradoodle.
Ho, Sheriff of Nottingham. My kingdom for a mortadelle, huh?
I make a great sandwich here. No getting around it.
And what about that disease you picked up over there in Diarrhea Stan or wherever the fuck you were?
This might be the cure.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Autumn Fisher, Jeff Leboff, and here's your host, Tim Andrews.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is episode 17 of season 4. My name is Tim Andrews. There's Autumn Fisher, Jeff Leboff.
Howdy.
You guys can say hello. And we're joined.
Hello.
You can. Thank you very much, Autumn. We are joined in studio today with a man who I met, I don't know how many years ago. How long ago was it, Shane?
I'd have to say it was like 2005, maybe?
2000. No, it was after that because we were on.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's
2009 or 10, I would think.
Yeah, that's about right.
Maybe 11. It's Worth, correct?
Yeah, that's
okay,
correct.
I feel like a douchebag. Yeah, Shane Worth, who is a
I don't think of 2007 or 2009 being that long ago, but when you think about it,
it's 10 years ago.
I know. Yep.
Well,
time flies when you're having fun. Yeah.
That's right. We did a contest on the Regular Guys radio show, which was on Rock 100.5, called the Fat Guy 500.
5,000,
that's what it was called, the Fat Guy 5,000, where we ran a contest, and there were, I don't even remember how it worked. How did it work?
A bunch of people wrote in and I think it.
It's kind of like The Biggest Loser, where they had teams.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because there was the Wax team, and then there was Southside Steve's team, and they kind of divvied up.
And you were on Steve's team.
Yeah, I was
and
on it was Steve's team.
And then they did a collective weigh in every week, and the team that lost the most weight. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Exactly. Did the chocolatier win or something?
There was a baker who won.
A baker. I think he was a chocolatier. I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Dean. Yeah, he was a cook. He was a chef.
Yes.
Master chef. Yes. That's what it was.
And then one of the guys actually became a regular guy's intern for a while, whose name I also don't remember. Because, I mean, there were a lot of interns. But
the reason Chan's here this week is part of Adult Swim April is he was a tortured soul on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
So what's a tortured soul?
Basically, you know, Satan picks on the demons. The tortured soul.
So Eddie Pepitone.
Eddie Pepitone's character. Okay. Is one of the tortured souls.
He's a tortured soul. I'm a tortured soul, and pretty much anyone they're wanting to whip or, you know,
how'd
you
get that gig?
It's actually kind of funny. At the time, I was between jobs, and so I started doing background work, and I'd always wanted to be in movies and that kind of thing. So I did a lot of different things. I did Drop Dead Diva, Identity Theft.
And what did you do? Just you were
you stole people's identities?
An extra?
Yeah, I was in that. Yeah, well, Jason Bateman movie.
Well, for Drop Dead Diva, all the stuff I would do was, okay, there's going to be this news conference, and we need a big guy that can hold that heavy camera that doesn't work anymore.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
I had another friend that was on Drop Dead Diva, too.
Yeah, so that's what I did there. And then I was a police officer for a while, so I had emergency vehicle operation training.
Uh-huh.
And so for identity theft, they were looking for precision drivers that knew how to drive, that wouldn't freak out when there was an accident, and we would actually drive with a stunt team. I mean, we wouldn't do stunts, but they needed people that wouldn't freak out when they, like, flipped a van over and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So that's what I did for them. And then I actually put in for a total different movie called, at the time it was called Devil's Knot. I don't even know what it ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't hear nothing back. But then I got an email. I was like, hey, some people saw your photo, and they thought you'd be perfect for this little thing they're putting together on Adult Swim, but you'd have to kind of get bloody and stuff. Would you have a problem with that? And I was like, oh, heck nah. I'm game for that. So I went to the set. I think I was only scheduled for like one day. And it's they had this basically this plywood pyramid with little climbing things on it. And so they had me climbing this with another tortured soul, and we're fighting for a pack of cigarettes.
Ugh.
And that's in the very first season. I mean, it's real quick. You might have seen it. We're fighting for a pack of cigarettes, and the whole thing collapses into lava. And I don't know what it was, but when I was up there, you know, because at first they were like, yeah, you're just going to climb and kind of fight for it. And when I was climbing up, I started, like, actually slapping the other guy, like, no, no, it's mine, because I've always just been silly like that. And then next thing I know, they were like, hey, you want to come back and do this other thing and this other thing? And I'm like, cool. And then, you know, they probably used me, like, 4 days the first season. And then I started working my current job now. And I was like, well, that was fun while, you know, I was in
between your current
stuff.
Job?
I'm a graphic artist.
Oh, cool.
For Clayton State University.
Wow.
Now, I work in the print shop, so basically people send me documents to be printed, and I fix the artwork so it looks better.
Oh, okay.
You know, but it keeps me entertained. And
you have a background in that, in graphics? And
we both started in journalism, right?
Yeah. No, oh, yeah. I was an AV technician. I was an AV technician for a long time, audiovisual technician.
Right.
I took care of the projectors and all that kind of stuff, but I also learned Photoshop and all that kind of stuff in my spare time and started helping out the print people. And then the guy that was there, he ended up retiring, and they're like, well, you know how to do it. Why don't you just do it? And
I'm That's
like,
so, cool. Right so place, just, right time, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the cool thing about Your Pretty Face is when the second season rolled around, they actually called me and said, hey, they want to know if you'll come be on the second season. I'm like, yeah, that's yeah. cool.
Nah. You know,
so I took my vacation time and went and worked on Your Pretty Face, and the second season was, you know, really cool. And then third season, same thing. Most of the stuff I did for the third season got cut out because they film a lot of stuff, especially when it comes to Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Henry will ad lib.
Oh yeah, I can imagine it would just go crazy with him.
I mean, I don't see how people keep straight faces, because I'd be off camera and I'd be wanting to roll just laughing, because
right,
he'll just go. So I mean,
well, we watched him and they had to cut sometimes because Dave was laughing so hard or other people were laughing on set. Not because Dave can laugh off camera, but I think it was Eddie Pepitone was laughing so hard. So
yeah, I mean, a lot of people, they'll start to lose it, because I mean, and it's just so natural and fluid with Henry. He just. Mm-hmm. Just spits it right off the top.
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, I was there for the third season, like the episode where Henry gets pregnant.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and Satan comes in and goes, I'm going to be a father. Well, what they cut out was he decides, hey, I'm going to give everybody cigars. So a bunch of demons come up, and he starts handing out cigars, and I walk up to get a cigar, and, you know, and Matt Servito turns to me and goes, but not you. And I mean, he's in the demon things in his eyes. And I mean, I know he was acting, but in my soul, I was like, man, dude, I'm just going to walk away. So just, you know, but I mean, it's an awesome experience every time I've been on there. And then
we're going to talk to him later in the show, but you knew that already.
Yeah.
I just had to throw it in there so people don't leave.
Yeah, he's a real
when
cool
I start
guy.
Talking.
But honestly, of all the sets I've worked on, your pretty face has been like the most fun, the most. You know, I don't want to say laid back, but just everybody there just is nice and treats you nice. I mean,
right.
Shane Morton, you know, that does the makeup.
Yeah, that stuff is so amazing. The set is incredible.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The creatures I think he makes them, right? The creatures?
Yeah, him like and the one-eyed Chris Brown and his whole, you know, Silver Scream effects. I'm hoping I'm saying his company's name right. But, I mean, he's got,
right.
You know, and if you've ever been to a studio and toured it, You might want to tour sometimes, because I mean, he's got Godzillas and King Kongs.
Oh, wow.
And everything.
He collects them?
He makes them.
Oh, he makes them.
Yeah, he makes all this, you know, really cool stuff. And I mean, it's he does awesome work. So
if they shoot another season, we got to see if we can get back and just watch again, because that was one of the highlights of the last couple of years for me, sitting there watching and you know, just seeing the magic happen.
Yeah, and what's pretty cool is I started off as an extra, and then they said, well, actually, now you're a featured extra, because we're going to keep bringing you back. And this past season, I think I went past featured extra into
a cast member.
Not exactly, but more of
recurring.
One of the recurring characters.
Yeah,
all right.
Because I still haven't been allowed to talk yet. Which sometimes when you know people are cutting up in the scenes, because you know I'm not one of the you know the actual paid actors that gets to speak. You know, people ad-lib and stuff, I've got to kind of be silent, because I'm like, I don't want to be like, oh, we can't use it because he said something.
Yeah.
So
you don't get paid?
Well, yeah, I get paid, but kidding. Just, you know, extra.
But you
extra.
Get a SAG card, I think, right?
If you get a line, you get...
Yeah, I mean, I'm eligible for a SAG card now. Okay. I've been in so many episodes.
Oh, wow.
You know, since it's not, you know, a full-time career, I'm not going to spend that kind of money for a...
For the great benefits.
Yeah, exactly. Just
I heard that they're fantastic.
Yeah, I work for the government, so I got government benefits.
Oh, no, you're good.
I got the government benefits.
The government benefit. That means you get everything.
Yeah, I get that teacher retirement.
Now you're going to be in season 4, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's at least 4 episodes I'm a definite part of.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do shoot a lot of stuff just randomly, you know, because it is all green screen and all that. They'll have me randomly... You know, run across the green screen, do this or that, and sometimes that stuff will pop up. Because I was watching season 3, because I enjoy being on it, but I also enjoy watching the show, and I've watched it a ton of times. And I'll watch the show, and you know, sometimes I'll be like, "Hey, there I'm in the background." Like season 3, I saw myself walk across the background, and then I looked. I'm like, "Wait a second, that's not what I was wearing in season 3. It was something from season 1 that they tried
to cut back.
You know, that just happened to work out." So. Mm-hmm. Because my costume has changed a little bit from each season, and people are like, oh, is it because they get you new clothes? I'm like, no, I think because they lose my clothes from the first season. We're like, well, let's throw them in this other stuff. And sometimes I think because I am a tortured soul, and you know my costume's kind of ripped up, and I've got a bloody stomach, and they rub coal and stuff on my hands, so I'm kind of dirty. I think sometimes they do kind of confuse me for one of the homeless people from Fulton Industrial. They're like, yeah, you're not supposed to. No. That's my car. I drove here.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
I'm supposed to be here. So
Fulton Industrial is such a weird area of Atlantic. It's, you know, other than film things being filmed on it, usually all you hear about are shootings and arrests.
Yeah, I mean, it's either you got things being shot or you've got people being shot.
Right, so, there you go.
You know, and then you've got all the, you know, warehouses. That's
and the hookers that are walking all over the place.
Yeah.
You keep saying that. Every time you mention Fulton Industrial Boulevard, you say it's famous for hookers.
Because I used to watch these.
I live right over near there, and I drive on Fulton Industrial Boulevard.
At 11 o'clock at night?
I'm always looking for them. I keep stopping women on the side of the road.
I know. I'm like,
no, over on Fulton Industrial, they're called lot lizards.
Yeah, there you go. There's a travel lodge over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I used to watch these videos on YouTube that, you know how people used to go around and they would bust men in cars, or they'd run up with a video camera and you know, and get the people while they're having sex, like, and then bust them.
Caught on camera.
Because one exit up is Six Flags. Mm-hmm. And I actually used to work security for Six Flags back in college.
Mm-hmm.
And so being one exit up, you would hear the stories, especially working security. And they're like, hey, you ever want to come do some security over here? I'm like, no.
No, thanks.
Here, I'm just checking if somebody's got a Coke bottle they're trying to sneak in over right there, I might get stabbed.
So, yeah,
no,
shot.
Thank you, sir.
So the new season of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell begins on May 3rd, correct?
May 3rd.
Season 4.
May 3rd, midnight.
And Casper said there's 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And that they're going to show two a week.
Right.
So I guess that would be for 5 weeks.
And where can people watch the previous seasons if they've never seen it?
Well, they've released a bunch of clips and full episodes on AdultSwim.com. Mm-hmm. And also on the app.
Okay.
But you can't, I don't think you can watch the entire.
They wouldn't be on Hulu. Are they on Hulu?
Yeah, they're on Hulu.
They're all on Hulu.
You can watch all three seasons on Hulu.
Okay.
That's
what I was going to say. Unless you want to get Hulu, I think you can pay for the seasons like through iTunes or. I know it's on demand on Comcast, and I'm not sure what the price is for the seasons, but.
You have to
if
buy
you don't
them,
have
yeah.
Hulu, yeah.
Yeah, Hulu is just the one price, and
right.
I pretty much binge whatever I want to watch and then re-binge some of the same things. Like, I've watched Rick and Morty way too many times.
Right. Yeah. Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Monday Night Brewing. You guys should check out Monday Night Brewing. Brewed right here in Atlanta. And if you're not in Atlanta, brewed in Atlanta. Served all over Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama. Check out both Monday Night Tap Rooms in the ATL. 670 Traybird Avenue Northwest in West Midtown and at the Garage, 933 Lee Street in Southwest Atlanta. Sample their variety of award-winning craft beers and don't miss $4 Pint Wednesdays every Wednesday from 4 to 9 p.m. at the Garage or Throwback Thursdays. Why not do both? It's a long week. Enjoy it. $12 gets you a pint glass and tickets for 6 tastings. That's Thursday nights from 4 to 9 p.m. in West Midtown. And keep that party going. Sign up for the Monday Night Brewing newsletter at mondaynightbrewing.com/radio. On social media, Twitter at Monday Night, Facebook.com Monday Night, Instagram.com/Monday Night.
Sports is going on here.
Be still, Taggart, be still.
Yes, sir.
My mind is aglow with whirling, transient nodes of thought, careening through a cosmic vapor of invention.
Ditto.
Ditto. Ditto, you provincial putz.
Welcome, everyone, to The Wilder Ride, bringing you our second season, where we are breaking down the film Blazing Saddles, 1 minute of the movie at a time. You know the one we're talking about, right? The story of a black railroad worker who is appointed to be the first black sheriff of Rock Ridge?
It'll never work. They'll kill him dead in one day.
One day is all we'll need to secure your name in the annals of Western history.
Along the way, Bart joins up with an unlikely ally, cooling his heels in the drunk tank.
Are we awake?
We're not sure. Are we black?
Yes, we are.
Then we're awake. But we're very puzzled.
His name is Jim, but most people call him Jim. But he used to go by another name.
I don't know if you ever heard of me before, but I used to be called the Waco Kid.
The Waco Kid. He had the fastest hands in the West.
In the world.
Together, they do battle against the forces of Hedy Lamarr.
Hedley.
Mungo.
Mungo only pawn.
game of life.
Lily von Stuck.
Would you care for another Schnitzelgruben?
And Taggart's band of nefarious Rough Riders.
Piss on you. I'm working for Mel Brooks.
I'm Alan Sanders, and joining me as co-host is Walt Murray. We invite everyone to find our daily podcast, The Wilder Ride, and give us a listen on your podcatcher of choice. We'd also encourage you to join our Facebook listeners group at facebook.com/The Wilder Ride, where you will be greeted with
the laurel and hearty handshake.
And if you missed season one, Young Frankenstein, give that one a binge listen as well. Finally, if you'd like to support the show, we'd encourage you to visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/The Wilder Ride, and consider subscribing. We have several tiers of support, each with their own additional rewards, and everything can be found in one place by simply going to our website, thewilderride.com. You can learn more about us, our seasons, and our guests. Enjoy being with us on The Wilder Ride. Now, let's get back to Tim and Jeff and the rest of the cast of Radio Labyrinth.
What's your favorite Adult Swim show?
I mean,
you can say Your Pretty Face. Okay, let's exclude Your Pretty Face and
yeah,
Rick and Morty.
I mean, honestly, right now it's Rick and Morty, but I've been an Adult Swim fan for a long time before any of this. Like, I used to watch C-Lab 2021.
Oh, yeah. C-Lab 2021.
And, you know, just the regular Scooby-Doos. And
Aqua Teen? Did you watch Aqua Teen?
Oh, I watched Aqua Teen all the time. When I was married, I would drive my wife crazy with watching Aqua Teen, and she's like, how can you watch a show about a Big Mac? I'm like, he's not a Big Mac. He's a meatwad.
It's a meatwad.
Right. You know, it's different, you know. So,
a lot of women don't find Aqua Teen or Squidbillies to be that entertaining. Some do. Autumn, you probably do.
Autumn, you like Aqua
Teen? Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah, you don't mind it.
But I don't watch it religiously. I really, it's weird. I watch more just regular Cartoon Network stuff.
Well, yeah, you have kids, so you kind of got to.
But even without the kids, like I was saying last week about Steven Universe and.
Yeah.
Even like Craig of the Creek. These are really good shows.
Oh. Yeah, that's because you're not a stoner.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, one of the things that came on Cartoon Network.
Loser.
You know, back in the day, it was called the Scooby-Doo Project.
Uh-huh.
Where it was like the Blair's Witch, but with Scooby-Doo characters.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
And I love that. And then I just happened to be looking on IMDb at some stuff, and Casper Kelly actually did that. Right. I'm like, well, that's pretty wild. So just... You know, but
you've seen Too Many Cooks. Do you like that?
Oh yeah, I'm friends with William.
Oh okay,
he actually
Tarkarski.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
He actually lives in Noonan.
Yeah, we reached out to him to come on the podcast also. But he I think he said he was filming this week in Tennessee.
Well, we could talk to him anytime.
Yeah, I'd love to get him on sometime.
He's great in that.
Yeah, and he'll talk your ear off too because he's got stories for everything. Just and it's funny when I'm sitting around watching something and I'm like, oh. There's William playing a killer on ID Network.
Right.
So he does what else?
He was in Lodge 49. We all loved that show.
Right.
Yeah, and he popped up in the new Jumanji.
Jumanji, yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was the bread peddler. Yep. You know, just, you know, he's an awesome guy.
Did you watch Final Deployment 4?
Yeah, I did, with all the gaming stuff.
That is the most brilliant thing I think I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not even being hyperbolic. I mean, to watch that from start to finish and at the very end, it just blows your mind. It's fantastic.
I'm not even a gamer, and I found it so funny just how it kept going layer after layer after layer.
Uh-huh. I'm a little bit of a gamer, but I'm an old gamer, so most of what I play is like the Call of Duties or Battlefields, which is first-person shooters.
Right.
You know, but, you know, it's like that with the headsets and everything going on, and I'm like, that's pretty good.
Once in a while, I'll watch people on Twitch. I don't follow anyone that I remember, but it just captured that. But again, just the onion kept peeling and peeling and peeling and peeling. Did you watch the whole thing, Autumn?
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, my God. And then, you know, when you go on YouTube, that led me, you know, if you like this, you'll like this. And I watched Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. Have you ever seen that?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
You recommended this to me the other day, too. I'm going to have to check it out. It's British.
It's insanity.
Tell them what you thought of it. I watched the first one because of the recommendation, and I thought, oh, this is like a kid's thing, but it ain't. And
yeah, so when I first started watching it, I thought, all right, maybe I could show this to the kids because it's kind of sweet sounding and funny and weird, but then it got real dark.
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
And there's six of them. I think they take a while. They're a little... One,
they make some good points, though. They're not just frivolously silly.
No, they make very good. What would you call it? philosophical points, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know. But it's called Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, and it's on YouTube.
All right, I'm going to look that one up.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out,
it's
too.
It's great.
Because I'm on YouTube way too much.
So am I. Shit, the other night, somebody sent something to me, said, you remember this? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I watched it. And I ended up being on YouTube for half an hour. And I didn't even notice. I was, oh, shit, I got stuff to do.
I've been going down a Game of Thrones wormhole on there, watching all of those Alt-Shift-X videos.
Mm-hmm.
If you're confused or want to really sink into Game of Thrones, if you're kind of not
deep
totally...
dive.
Yes, go to Alt-Shift-X and watch all of their videos. They have recaps for almost every episode. Alt-Shift-X. But then they also they go into theories of different things, like origins of Valyrian steel or, you know, what these maesters are doing. But it combines what's happening in the show with concepts from the books.
Right.
So it's really, really cool. Check it out.
I seem to get lost in the whole of the conspiracy theory stuff, or the chupacabras, the big
floods.
And then, I mean, because it said, well, if you like this, you'll like this, and then, you know,
YouTube doesn't do that anymore, though. They scrubbed a lot of the conspiracy videos, and the algorithm doesn't work anymore. But I used to spend hours just watching these. That's why I'm so fucked up.
Yeah, that's why, you know, especially when they start talking about, you know, and don't watch too long or the Majestic 12 will come get you.
Yeah. Okay, who are they?
Yeah.
I watched, do you know who Bill Cooper is? William Cooper? Behold a Pale Horse?
Twin Peaks?
No.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Bill Cooper was a guy that was doing conspiracy type stuff in the 90s on radio, and he wrote a book called Behold a Pale Horse, and he had The Hour of the Time was his show. And he did it on shortwave and on AM.
Was it pre-Art Bell?
He was around the same time as Art Bell. He used to fight with Art Bell and call him a charlatan. He fought with Alex Jones, and he was eventually killed because he was, he was one of those, you know, get off my property government people. But he actually predicted 9/11. And he said, you know, something's going to happen the next few minutes. Anybody could have done it, I guess, if you just, you know, threw a dart at the wall. But those videos are all up there. And I started watching and listening to those, and they just take you down the rabbit hole. Just keep going. I mean, a lot of it's nonsense.
Is that why all the frogs are gay over by your house now?
The frogs are gay because I dump all my estrogen in the swamp.
Well, that'll happen.
Yep. The frogs are gay!
The frogs are making my plants gay.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza in Ural, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza in Ural is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, Euros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting since 1983. Check them out on Twitter at ATL Pizza Euro. That's ATL Pizza GYRO.
Hey guys, we're Chuck and Brad. We're two comedians who do the Chuck and Brad podcast, a pop culture podcast based out of Rhode Island.
We just wanted to let you know that we're going on a short comedy tour called Chuck and Brad Reimagine the Avengers.
It's our own comedic retelling of the original Avengers movie, and we're touring the shows the same weekend that Avengers Endgame comes out. So come get a refresher and a new spin on the original Avengers movie before you go see Endgame.
Thursday, April 25th, we'll be in Hartford, Connecticut at the CT Comedy Theater with BJ Quagan, Andrew Morgan, and Stosh Makita.
Saturday, April 27th, we'll be in New York City at the Pit Loft with Impractical Jokers tour opener Jiggy, Impractical Jokers writer Casey Jost, and UCB veteran Lisa Kleinman.
Sunday, April 28th, we'll be at Laugh Boston with John Tilson, Logan O'Brien, Tyler Swain, and Dan Hall. All event info and tickets at chuckandbradpodcast.com.
Every night we'll have the comics open up the show and we'll close with our live retelling of the Avengers.
And for a tiny bit of background, we've done the podcast for 10 years. We've had on great guests like Jeff Tremaine, the director of the Jackass movies, the bands Bowling for Soup, Less Than Jake, Real Big Fish, Big D and the Kids Table, and many, many more.
And if you're a big podcast listener, you might know me from Tell 'Em Steve Dave. I work on film projects for the podcast Tell 'Em Steve Dave, which is made up of Walton Bryan from AMC's Comic Book Men and Quinn from True TV's Impractical Jokers. I consistently do the film work for the Tell 'Em Steve Dave Patreon. So come on out, support this very weird live comedy show, and hopefully more and more podcasts will start doing their own live alternative shows.
Once again, that's Chuck and Brad Reimagine the Avengers, New York City, Hartford, and Boston. See you at the end of the month. ChuckandBradPodcast.com.
Welcome, Matt Servito, to Radio Labyrinth. Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Autumn Fisher,
and Shane the Tortured.
Shane the Tortured from Adult Swim's Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell. You remember Shane the Tortured, correct?
I do remember Shane, of course.
Well, we're torturing him tonight by he has to be
very honest. Hard to forget Shane.
Yes. So, Matt, thank you for coming on the show, man. We met you about a year and a half ago when they were shooting this season. We were over at the, what was that place called?
It's just over off Fulton Industrial Boulevard. It was just
yeah. Believe me, most of the actors on our show, I think we pulled them off the Fulton Industrial Highway. They're like hobos, parolees. We then paint them red and put them in the show.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but we're out there. I don't even know if that studio has a name, but it's been home now for a few seasons.
Yeah, Shane was just telling us that they moved over there, I think, for season three, and then it's been season three and four were both filmed there.
Yeah, it's been the first couple of years. I literally felt like we were shooting in like a strip mall storefront. I'm not lying. Like it felt, and truckers would go by like with, you know, mud flaps that said like Jesus is the answer, and there's like all the demons out there like on a cigarette. We got a lot of honks, a lot of swearing at us, and there was, like, no air conditioning. And, it definitely felt like off Broadway television those first couple of years.
And when we walked in, you were right in the other Shane's in his makeup chair.
Yeah.
I guess they referred to him as Shane the makeup guy, not Shane the tortured.
Shane Morton.
Shane Morton.
Shane is the... I don't know what came first, the show or Shane, because there is no show without Shane the makeup artist, because he's not just the makeup artist. I mean, Shane is kind of this monster makeup artist savant who can do just about everything and is like a prop master, a art department whiz, a makeup artist, a visual artist, special effects. I've always said to Dave and Chris, the creators, like, did you know that you had Shane before you started creating the show? Because I don't understand how we would do it without it.
Right.
His vision and his talents are all through everything we do. Everything. I mean, you know, like I said, from just one little detail way in the background on an episode all the way to the makeup and every little detail on my face or a monster. Or so, it's just incredible. He's truly, but it's also a labor of love. He loves what he does, and it shows in the show.
When your agent said, hey, we have this gig lined up for you in Atlanta with Adult Swim, it's a story about an office in hell, and you're going to be Satan. What was your thought?
I think my first thought was, I went to Juilliard. Why would I do such a ridiculous show? And I wish that was a joke or a punchline, but it's the God's honest truth.
Right.
No, I went in for the audition. I met with Chris and Dave, who were in New York. I was up in New York, and the waiting room for people auditioning for the role was very interesting, because there was clearly no one concept for the character, because there was just a wide range of looks and ethnicities. But I just kind of did my own, you know, twist on it, put my own thing on it, and Dave and Chris loved it. And we did a little improv. You know, it felt like I was in my groove, but I actually thought it's an office comedy set in hell. So I figured I'm like Steve Carell, except it's hell, but except I got flown down to Atlanta after I got cast and I had to go in for a makeup test. I'm like, well, I'm a pretty good looking guy. I don't think I have to put too much makeup on me, but oh, okay. You know, David, here's Chris, Chris Brown and Shane Morton waiting with like a tank of red spray paint and rubber horns and crepe hair. And they basically proceed to create the character of Satan. And I had no idea that I was going to look like the kind of the classic Satan, you know, that you see in paintings and pictures. Though of course with like a Gene Simmons, twist to it. But, yeah. So, I mean, it really was sort of a shock to me that we were going to go full makeup and the look of the show was going to be... I just thought it was cubicles, polo shirts, khakis, that hell just really was an office, you know, that you never leave kind of thing. But I love that we also have the kind of you know, the classic. It's a kind of, you know, mix of the Office meets Dante's Inferno, you know.
And how long does it take to get in that Satan makeup?
It used to take about an hour and a half. I think we've got it down to about an hour now. We've streamlined it. Shane is always refining it.
And then getting
out of it takes about an hour, a little over an hour as well. So it's not too much going into it because it gives me time to kind of get into character. We got music going. You saw the music room. I mean, there's always a vibe going. So you're sort of getting in the your pretty face mode. Shane's got like horror movies on a loop on a small TV. We've got, you know, heavy metal coming out of a Beats pill. And, we're just all giving each other a hard time. It's when you're on that set for 12 hours in the makeup, and you have two thoughts. I need to get out of this makeup, and I need a drink. And you just cannot. It takes that makeup, even though it doesn't take that long to get out of it, it feels endless, because you just truly want to, like, rip the horns off. And you can't, because the horns are actually, like, super glued to my head. If I actually ripped them off, I would rip my skin off with it, so...
Does the beard help or hurt in the makeup process?
Well, the beard is mine, thank God. and it does, that adds time because Shane spray paints it like charcoal black. It actually looks like something from Bugs Bunny, like a beard that got charred in an explosion. But then we've had the crazy thing that I like about the beard is I've had to shave the beard off for other work outside of hell. And so then I come back and I have no beard and we don't even acknowledge it. So Satan most of the time has the beard, but like there are episodes even in season 4 where I do not have the beard. And what's fun is Henry / Gary looks at me kind of like, you look different. And then we just go on with the episode, you know. So Dave and Chris don't care. They're kind of like, you are who you are. It's like, so you don't have the beard. Maybe we'll make some comment about the fact that, yeah, you had to shave it for something. We will literally reference exactly why you shaved your beard. You know, for Chicago Fire, you had to shave your beard.
So when you were you trained in comedy? Is it something that you'd always wanted to do as an actor? Because I'm not going to say most people, but I knew you primarily from, you know, prestige shows. And, of course, that would be kicking it all off would be The Sopranos. But, you know, did you have an itching to do it?
You know, it's funny because I am, by default, a very, very silly man. And so I always say, me playing serious is the best acting you will see all year. And it is what I have made my career doing, which is hysterical to my friends, because I am truly one of the least serious people you'll ever meet. So my default setting is comedy. That's most of the people I know that do drama, their default setting is drama. But it's like my default setting is comedy. So I'm always having to kind of work to get out of the heavy drama stuff. And I mean, not just like regular, as you said, not just sort of like network drama. I'm doing like heavy premium cable, Showtime, HBO, violence, sex, rock and roll, like heavy, heavy drama. And so that I love. I mean, I love that it's not just sort of like melodramatic or overdramatic. It's really cool, like... shows with really great writing, so I've been very lucky. But I've always been the first thing I do when I get a serious script is look for the comedy, and the first thing I do when I get a comedic script is look for a moment of seriousness, because it's great, because I love that everyone's more like, even in the Hell Show, like we try to find a moment where maybe Satan feels vulnerable or Satan has a soft spot for Gary, or, you know, it's great because it just kind of like, you know, circles, it just keeps circling in on itself. I feel like when a show is one note, it gets monotonous. And right. Like I said, I was lucky on something like Banshee, which was a very,
and we all loved Banshee.
As I call it, a thinking man's action show, very heavy show. But like, as the show went on for 4 years, eventually the writers started giving me a lot of comedy, because they realized like I was a smart ass in real life, so like, why don't we make the character a bit of a smart ass? So I began to sort of be I would say things that the audience was probably thinking, like somebody would pull out a gun and I'd be like, you know, wow, that's a really big gun. And that's exactly what the audience is thinking, and it's the same thing my character is thinking, so I'm just gonna say it, you know. So anyways, to answer your question in a long-winded way, yeah, comedy is truly something that I love, and this show is something I couldn't have thought. You can't even in your mind as an actor go to a place like this show, because there's just nothing like it. There's nothing like our show on the air. I mean, we get to improv. We're heavily made up. We do a shit ton of green screen. You know, it's like a lot of chewing the scenery. It's over the top comedy, and with tons of physical comedy, explosions, blood. You know, I mean, honestly, and friends of mine that watch it, or actor friends, are like, "You son of a bitch! I can't believe you get to do this show." I'm like, "Me neither." I mean, Henry and I pinch ourselves all the time because Henry. Same thing. Henry gets asked to do a lot of kind of bland, you know, network comedy, and it's a killer for him because he is a comedic. I call him a comedic genius. I mean, when he's on, he's on, and it's hard to keep up with him. And this show, part of the business model of Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell is Henry bringing Henry every day that we shoot, and bringing all of his kind of comedic tools because he's just there, and he's ready to go. Even on his worst day, he's still, you know, thinking up stuff, making suggestions, you know, improvising scenes. So it's always fun for me to just go to do the show and then go back to, you know, the cops, the lawyers, the doctors, the firemen, because I'm now ready to go back after 2 months of in hell of just, you know, ripping it up. I can go back there with.
Yeah, I got to imagine the craft services over on Billions is probably a little bit better than Your Pretty Face set.
Yeah, that's okay. Look, man, I've got to fit into the Satan outfit, so I don't want to get too big anyway. I'll tell you right now, the best craft services I ever saw was Sopranos. I mean, those guys had to remain big. You know, every guy on the show was huge. You know, and I'm being gentle because they were fat.
They're going to eat.
They wanted to keep them. I always said there must have been a weigh-in on Monday on The Sopranos because if you fell below 300 pounds, they'd kill you. They constantly, you know, had all this like the tiramisu and the gobbledygook and the, you know, the mortadelle, and it was just like tables and tables of looked like Thanksgiving, like a cornucopia of stuff to give you a heart attack. You know,
it was all made by one Italian grandmother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a great name for a catering company. One Italian grandmother. Yeah, man. And they just fed us like there were. And so you finally had to just stop going over to the table because you just would go over and eat an entire meal. And this wasn't even dinner or lunch. This was craft service. This is stuff that's just sitting out there, you know, between takes. So, yeah, man, that was some amazing, amazing food on that show.
Are you getting caught up in the 20-year anniversary of The Sopranos? There's a lot of talk, especially with the prequel being shot right now, The Many Saints of Newark. And I saw that, well, I actually listened to it. I'm a huge fan of Pot of Bing, and I love that podcast because I'm a complete dork about the show. Everybody who knows me knows that I'm a little bit too obsessed with it. So, yeah.
Listen, there is no such thing. You know, I truly kind of, the 20th anniversary was sort of an odd moment for us because we actually started shooting the show 21 years ago. So like for the audience, it's 20 years, but for us, it was kind of the first year we were on the set, which was 98.
Wow.
And show then aired in 99, I think early 99. We might have even started in 90. I feel like I went in, I actually auditioned for the show, I want to say in 97, because I initially auditioned for the role of Father Phil.
Oh, you did, huh?
Which was the priest that had the little moment with Carmella in the first season. And thank God I didn't get it, because he was gone by the first season. That was played by Paul Schultz, who went on to then play Edie's husband in Nurse Jackie.
Right.
Great actor, great guy. But so then when the show finally came together, I then went in to play to audition for an FBI agent for one episode. And one episode turned into all seven seasons and, good God, 26, 27 episodes. So that was just, you know, a complete twist of fate. But, yeah, man, I have completely gotten caught up in it because HBO had a marathon a month or so ago, and I just found myself kind of tuning in, and I'd be in the middle of an episode, and I wouldn't stop watching, and I kept calling my wife. I'm like, oh, my God, remember this episode? Because we watched it all in real time, and we have never gone back and watched it, binge-watched it, the way everybody does now. I mean, I said Sopranos had to have been one of the last shows you couldn't binge-watch, because we were, like, truly the last of... I said, and it was also... One of many things played in our favor. The binge watching came later, but also social media doesn't really explode until, honest to God, like the year we finished. We finished in 2007, which I believe was the year the iPhone was introduced. So, not that the internet didn't exist, obviously, and all that stuff, but the world of like being on a since then I've done a number of shows where we have to be participating with our fans,
right?
You know, engaging them. And Sopranos was cool, man. It was not only not engaging the fans, like they kind of held the fans at a distance and said, we're just going to make this really cool show, and if you like it, great. If you don't, we don't care. And I said it really felt like, when it was at its height, like I was just a small part of was like Led Zeppelin, 1969, 1970, like the coolest band in the world. And anywhere we went, we were the coolest. I just would tail along with Jimmy and Michael Imperioli and Tony Chirico to bars and clubs in L.A., New York. And, oh, my God, it was like, you know, the sea parted and we would just walk in. And I said, the funny thing is so many guys on that show smoke. And we would walk into places that, like, at big signs, no smoking, no smoking, no smoking. We walk in, they all light up.
Right.
Like, who's going to tell the Sopranos they can't smoke? I mean, are you kidding me? You know, nobody's going to bother with that one.
And over the over those years that you were on the show, Agent Harris's character arc, you saw him as a confident, you know, typical FBI guy working the OC, going after organized crime and the mafia, to 9/11 happens right in the middle of the seasons. So the show's tone has to change. So Agent Harris starts working with, fighting terrorism and stuff.
Anti-terrorism, yeah.
Right, anti-terrorism. Yeah. And so toward the end, the last season, you see Agent Harris rooting for Tony to win the mob war, which I loved.
Yeah, I mean, that saved me with the audience, because I truly was the bad guy on the show. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say people spit on me on the subway.
Oh, God.
Because I was the most hated man on The Sopranos, because I was the guy trying to take Tony down. And that twist, that turn, helped tremendously, because all of a sudden I became a confidant and an ally, and we became kind of friends. And then I just started hanging out at the porch store, drinking, you know, espresso, eating a sandwich, and giving Tony whatever little intel I had on organized crime. So,
right.
Culminating with a great, the last season, really, you know, definitely going way too far with that, and providing him with, you know, intel on Leotardo, Frank Leotardo, and the whole New York mafia. So, that his arc really was one of, you know, that changed so much. Over seven seasons, and as I said, where it ended was just was amazing in a way that I never could have imagined when it started. I said it was just the FBI in those early years was just there to remind the audience that they, because you would be seduced into falling in love with Tony Soprano,
right?
Because he was this likable, lovable New Jersey lug. But then the FBI would remind you, oh, by the way, he's on the wrong side of things,
right?
And yes, he's a man who follows his id, but he's a sociopath. He kills his enemies. He sleeps with whoever he wants to. He's a menace to society. But it's like, oh, by the way, he's also really funny. And what person would love to just like get rid of people they don't like?
Yeah,
with a piano wire and choke them to death. You know,
I think it was
have no repercussions.
I think it was Pada Bing that said that episode. I think it's called College, where Ralphie kills the stripper.
The best episode.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe, you know, the best episode. I know it's in the Pine. There's that list. You know, the College episode, the Pine Barrens.
Oh.
I love that College episode. That was the first one where I thought, what an amazing show.
But that was done to remind people these are awful. Awful people. You gotta, you know, that Ralph.
No, I mean, I feel like so many of the shows I've been on, it's always that thing. Like, it's the anti-hero. I mean,
right.
Look at Billions. I mean, these are not good people.
Right.
Banshee was loaded, populated with all sorts of awful people.
Brotherhood.
That you would be kind of, when you watch them week in, week out, you begin to kind of think, I like this guy. And I'm like, no, you don't. He's terrible. They're terrible people. But you know, that's, I think that's kind of the age. I feel like after Sopranos, the anti-hero became, you know, the new norm.
Right.
You know?
Did they, did Dave and Chris try and get you to put a bug in Paul Giamatti's ear to come on your pretty face?
Well, you know, every time I'm on set, I mention it to Paul because I have this crazy idea. Maybe I'll start a write-in campaign to have Paul play Satan's evil twin brother, Stan, who's a dick. And you're like, who shows up every, like, you know, once a season, like, sleeps on my couch, drinks my beer, won't leave, and he's worse than me. Like, that's what I'm saying. He's my evil twin brother, Stan. Like, he's even worse than Satan, you know? And I mentioned to Paul, and Paul's like, I'm in, just let me know when. So I'm really, this is my, knock wood, if we get a season five, I will say to Paul, look, you know, I'm doing charity work over on Billions. Yeah, right. You need to come over on do our show for reciprocity, you know.
Well, Matt Servito, thank you so much for taking time this evening to chat with us. We're all big fans of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. And like I said, like you could tell, I'm a huge dork for The Sopranos. And
we love all your stuff, Banshee.
Yeah, Banshee. Yeah. Like I mentioned Brotherhood briefly. That was another show with anti-heroes in it. You know, like, leave Jason Isaacs alone. He's just trying to do nice things for his mom.
Oh, my God. Listen, I am so grateful for Brother. First of all, my kids have seen almost nothing I've done. They've been to set on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, and I was watching it from their eyes, and I thought, I think they think this is like Sesame Street on acid. You know, but they are huge Harry Potter fans. So the fact that I work with Jason Isaacs,
oh, that's right,
Malfoy's father on Harry Potter, that has got me a big, you know, big cred in my house, because like, they just don't know my career, they don't know anything, but the fact that Jason Isaacs' phone numbers in my cell phone is huge. So
I'd just get a plug in for the podcast. Next week we'll be talking to Dave Willis and Henry Zebrowski.
Oh man.
And
don't listen to anything I just said. That's a much better podcast.
And we're looking forward to the
season. That's a great get, man. Have fun with those guys.
We're looking forward to the season premiere, which is on May 3rd on Adult Swim Friday night.
Shane, you want to say anything real quick before we go?
Well, I think I remember, you know, he was talking about his kids.
Right.
I think there was an episode where while he was out there acting, Shane actually dressed his kids up in the whole demon.
Yes.
Oh,
that is absolutely right. We were doing, was that this season or last season? I can't even remember. But, yeah, my kids came to set, and Shane spray painted them all red, put horns on their heads. I thought, how many kids get to go on spring break in Quebec looking like with these kind of pictures, you
right,
know?
Right.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Shane, by the way, I just got done cutting episode 12 of our new season, the Supper Con, which is basically a spoof of Comic Con, and you're definitely. You're definitely in the cut, my friend.
All
so
right.
It ended up being a great episode.
Cool.
And that was actually the inmates running the asylum. They I got to direct an episode this season, which was awesome. So nobody listened to me. Didn't matter. but you know, I had fun and I cut them all out of the episode. So
good.
Oh, yeah. We're all super looking forward to it.
All right, man. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks for coming on, Matt. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on. Be well.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by the wonderful people at Resource Environmental Group, LLC. REG LLC is an environmental consulting firm in the greater Atlanta area. If you are looking for one, then you know what that means. Check them out. For more information, contact Jason Chappell at reglc.att.net. Hey man, you want some hot sauce? Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Offen Pepper. It's a Chattanooga-based business that produces Hoff sauce. Hoff sauce is the brainchild of Aaron Hoffman, a man obsessed with making hot sauces, chili powders, and other chili goods since 2013.
Hoff's biggest challenge was to create the perfect hot sauce to kick up the flavor of everything from your morning eggs to sandwiches, salads, pizzas, burgers, poultry, fish, etc. Couldn't only be spicy, it had to be pleasantly tangy, flavorful, and fresh, elevating your food instead of covering it up. In fact, you know, the other night I cooked chicken out on the grill, and what did I do? I marinated it in the green Hoff sauce. For 15% off, go to hoffandpepper.com and use the code RADIOLAB15. That's Radio LAB15, all one thingy there, at the checkout. That's RADIOLAB15 at checkout to get 15% off your order. Hoff sauce.
You guys want to do some news?
Yeah, we can talk about these couple stories I threw in here.
Yeah. Of course you know what this is, right?
Oh, yeah. All in the Family.
Carol O'Connor. Jean Stapleton as Edith. Show debuted in the early 1970s and ran pretty much throughout the entire decade. Ended as a show called Archie Bunker's Place after Edith died of, what'd she have, pleurisy? I don't know.
I can't remember. That's what Rob Reiner started off, right?
Well, he's actually on other stuff.
Dick Van Dyke?
That. Huh?
Was he on Dick Van Dyke?
I don't know if he was.
No, that was Carl Reiner. Was on
Dick Van Dyke. Sorry.
Rob Reiner, I think his first acting gig was on Odd Couple.
And he wore a wig, like a curly wig. But it's where he came into prominence.
Yeah, I just remember him being the meathead.
Yeah, right. That's where he probably became known to the mainstream.
And where the Jeffersons kind of came from.
Jeffersons lived in their house. Jeffersons lived in that house first. Excuse me.
I thought they were neighbors.
They were.
Oh, okay.
The Jeffersons were their neighbors. And in the first season or whatever, George would never come to the house because he didn't want to talk to them. So they sent the brother over. So that the guy that was, you know, the guy you thought was George at the beginning was actually Edith's brother. Not Edith's brother, Wheezy's brother.
Wheezy's brother, okay.
And so the main character, though, from the Jeffersons house was, of course, Lionel. And he was funny, and he always made fun of Arch, and Archie liked him and stuff. And the cultural significance of All in the Family can't be overstated.
We've talked about it on the show before, though, and we always say they couldn't do the show today.
Right, but they are going to do
it. But they're gonna.
ABC is doing an All in the Family Jefferson stunt with Woody Harrelson as Archie Bunker. And they're going to do them live, right?
I don't know if it's live, but
yeah,
they're going to be like a special event,
right?
A very special evening with a new All in the Family and Jeffersons.
Marissa Tomei, Jamie Foxx, and Wanda Sykes. I think Jamie Foxx and Wanda Sykes are going to be the Jeffersons.
Right.
So they're going to redo episodes. They're not doing new stuff. They're going to redo original episodes, and I don't know if they'll be able to, because Archie said all sorts of nasty shit back then.
Yeah, I don't know if they could get away with it nowadays.
And back then, it wasn't to glorify what Archie's point of view. It was to make Archie's point of view look imbecilic. But really, Archie was he had a heart of gold, and he just, you know, it's one of those shows, again, it's just boom, right in the middle of your life, here's the show. And then All in the Family gave us the Jeffersons, it gave us Maude gave us Good Times, and just
they were showing real life.
Right.
You had your, you know, sort of bigoted racist uncle,
mm-hmm.
and you knew that person, but you also still loved that person.
Right.
And then you also could see how ridiculous they were. You know, so it was reality.
So it doesn't say in the article when it's going to take place, if it's going to be modern or if it's just going to be a rehashing of the 70s and stuff. So, I obviously it's like a car crash. You're going to stare at it. But, you know, Lear has done this a lot with his properties. He, you know, One Day at a Time, they updated that and put it on Netflix.
People loved the hell out of it.
I know
that
they did.
They were really pissed when it got canceled. I never got it. I never checked out the new one.
I watched the first episode. I mean, it wasn't bad. It's just I'm so used to, you know, Ms. Romano.
The classic.
Doing all that, I'm surprised they haven't tried to redo Alice yet.
They could redo Alice.
Hey.
Why not, right?
At some point.
Linda Lavin is still with us.
Yeah. Well, last thing you saw her on prominently was The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they talked about it, but you mentioned Good Times.
Mm-hmm.
But John Amos from Good Times is actually going to be on your Pretty Face.
I know. We missed him that day.
Yeah. They told us
Did you meet him?
I didn't get to meet him. I wasn't there that day.
They told us the day we went to the set that he had been there, and it was great work with him and stuff. And then they told us George Wendt was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could have met George Wendt.
I bet.
And Art Bell.
I've been wanting to meet
not Art Bell, but
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry was there.
Phil Hendry's been on before, too. He did the dog, the three-headed dog. Yeah, wouldn't it be cool to meet John Amos?
Oh, yeah. Well, to me, I'd love to meet Norm because, well,
oh, yeah,
George
yeah.
Flint.
Oh,
so, yeah, because he just has always seemed like a really cool guy. And, you know, and I'm a bigger guy, too. So it's like seeing bigger guys actually get into stuff and have really cool roles.
Right.
Like,
well, cool. Speaking of George Wendt, you wouldn't want to see a Cheers reboot. There's things that just need to be what they are. And I get tired
of it.
This
new show, Abby's Place.
What's that?
It's this new show. We talked about it a little because it's the janitor from Scrubs,
mm-hmm.
and he was the dad on The Middle.
Yep.
I saw the first episode of that. It's basically this girl sets up a bar in her backyard that everybody in the neighborhood comes to.
Right, mm-hmm. And it's kind of cheersy because it's like a cast of characters, and it's unusual because it's filmed outdoors. And they make a point of telling you it's filmed in front of an outdoor live audience.
So, like dogs and stuff.
Well, I mean, it's just it sounds different.
Okay.
And the audience is outside, so it's like it just has a different feel to it than Cheers, but it's got a little bit of that Cheers vibe to it. It's worth watching. It's pretty.
They
funny.
Should make a Simpsons reboot, even though it's not over.
Yeah, to make it funny again.
Yeah.
The Simpsons still comes out with a gem every now and then.
I'm not interested
waiting.
In mining.
No,
that
there's,
gem.
Right. There's, it's still worth watching just for those gems that come out every now and then. But I mean,
I'll go back and watch seasons 1 through 10, and then I'm good.
I don't watch Family Guy anymore.
Oh no, Family Guy, get out of here.
I watch it sometimes, but I never know when a new episode's coming up.
So. Yeah, I don't either.
So when Hulu says there's a new one, I'm like, oh, I'll watch it, but. I mean, but if you're going to talk about Seth, I've really gotten into the Orville. I love that one.
Yeah.
Watch that one or not.
We dug the Orville the first season, and then the second season.
Started off weak.
It started mm-hmm. off kind of slow, and then.
But I heard it's gotten better.
Yeah. And then Alara left, who was my favorite character. She was rumored to have been dating Seth MacFarlane. I think
she
they broke up, and so she left the show, and I was kind of sad about that. So I was really thinking about given up on the show, but I'm glad I didn't because it got really good, and it's like it's not even a comedy anymore.
No, I watched last week's episode. It was really good.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I think, was his plan, right? Was he had to play that Seth MacFarlane role and to put the weird Seth MacFarlane, brand on it.
Right.
And then once it sort of gained a little traction, he could make it the actual sort of boring but great Star Trek Next Generation.
And it is Star Trek. That's all it is.
Yeah, it is. It's the best Star Trek on TV. So
the mm-hmm. Star Trek Discovery is really good, too.
Spock showed up on the final episode, spoiler alert, of Discovery.
Right.
Yeah, but speaking of security on Orville, Talia, the new one,
mm-hmm.
I actually like her better than Alara because I think she fits that role a lot better. Cause
her character is much more outspoken and has more to do on the ship.
Yeah, she seems like I'm a security officer that also happens to be really strong.
Right.
So Alara just seemed like, hi, I'm a cute cheerleader, but I can beat everybody up.
Right.
So do you think biceps. Orville will come back for another season? I guess this week is the season finale, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I hope so because,
it gets good ratings, so.
Yeah, because after last week's episode, where I'm wondering what's going on with the timeline and all that mm-hmm. stuff, I'm like,
well.
I guess we'll see. I hope they don't
But they're definitely making it more of a sci-fi show, which I like. Because the comedy seemed out of place.
It did.
Yeah.
Not like that movie with Tim. What's his face?
Galaxy Quest?
Yeah, I love that movie. But that was a movie.
Yeah.
But isn't that great, Autumn? You like that movie, don't you?
Yeah, I love that movie.
By the Great Thor's Hammer or whatever.
Thor's Hammer. Yeah. What a savings.
That movie was originally supposed to star the cast of Star Trek.
It was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Was when they
or
wrote
maybe
it,
I did know that.
When they wrote it, they were going to be the actors that were their characters on Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And like Shatner was going to be the Tim Allen character and blah, blah, blah. But then
Paramount said no.
Well, I mean, they just didn't do it. So they said, well, let's make this movie anyway.
And right. That would have been a good movie.
Yeah, it's interesting just to watch it, though, thinking what would it have looked like if those mm-hmm. characters had played themselves.
And HBO, here's another story, is teaming up with Oscar-nominated filmmakers of The Square for a docuseries about NXIVM, the Hollywood sex cult. Currently in the news right now with
I want to watch a documentary about NXIVM, the antacid.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
me too.
I was like, that antacid's up to some crazy
it's
stuff.
It's purple and it cures your heartburn, and it also will tattoo you on your that's vulva.
Right. I'll see a battle.
Is that the cult that had the girl from Smallville?
From Smallville, yeah, Allison Mack.
Still hot.
She's working on getting a plea deal because I think she pled guilty.
Yeah, this.
Last time I saw her was at Dragon Con right before all that went down. And I'm like, oh, man, if I only knew she was into that stuff.
Yeah.
You would have gotten in a sex cult with her.
You would have let her brand you if she wanted to.
Brand my vulva.
Like, put your Superman mark right there.
Yeah. It's,
I can't believe that shit.
Keith, I'll watch that documentary, though. I'm interested in what the hell's going on over there.
Keith Rainier, he's the head of it. He's going to go to jail for it.
Well, that's why I think they're flipping her on him.
Yeah.
Which is a task because she was dedicated to him. Like, remember when they arrested him? She was like ran after the car and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sad news from the set of Deadwood, the movie. David Milch has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I guess he's had it for a while, but he just decided to go public with it now.
Early enough for where he can maintain.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess they could tell something was going on.
Right.
When they were shooting the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he ended up telling everybody what was happening.
Shit, Sunday night, go ahead.
So they all knew, you know, on set that, you know, if he got short-tempered or forgot what was going on, just to work with him and stuff. But
wow.
He's struggling with it, but I think it's still pretty early.
You take Prevagen.
Because a lot of people forget about Alzheimer's not just being something about people's memory.
Right.
No.
It's also like, you know, being super ornery.
You're right. Ornery because, and this is what doctors have said about my mm-hmm. grandfather, you're mad because you have the thoughts in your head. You know, your brain knows what it wants to do, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
The connections are messed up. And so my grandfather used to get so angry. And he couldn't speak. He couldn't relate what was in his mind. But you knew that he was agitated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So that sucks. But
good luck to David Milch, I mean.
Well, the prognosis ain't good. But the Deadwood trailer that aired before, it's the first one I'd really
before
seen.
Before Game of Thrones?
Yeah. And I enjoyed that more than that episode of Game of Thrones until the end.
Yep.
Which one? This very last one?
Yeah. We can just get into it and talk about it. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I actually don't watch that one.
All right, well, you're going to have to sit here and chill. You haven't watched that one or you haven't watched the show?
I haven't really watched the show.
Okay, so. That's all right.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, you're too good to watch it. I'm like, no, I just don't have cable right now. So.
Well, if you are a fan of Game of Thrones and you don't want to be spoiled now,
we're gonna have a big talk about it on the May 8th episode, though, right?
Yeah, Autumn, so. have you talked to our friend?
I did, yeah. We're trying to figure out what to do. I mean, I feel like it's kind of her lead, so I'm...
Yeah, you don't mind that, do you?
Of course not.
Okay.
No, I'm just sort of waiting for her.
Okay. Well, so, we'll tell you more about that when we know about that.
Yeah.
I liked the episode of Game of Thrones this week, but it was just a lot of talking and dialogue,
nothing,
and I understand they have
happened.
To do it. Right. Except for the hot sex scene.
Well, that wasn't hot. All the other sex scenes on Game of Thrones, you're like, ooh. But this one happened, you're like, girl, put on your clothes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well,
because you've watched that girl since she was like 5 years old.
I know.
Well, and she still kind of looks.
Yeah.
I was uncomfortable.
Why were you uncomfortable? I was too.
She looks young.
That's
still.
Not the the.
Did they use a body double?
I think they did.
That's not the what's their last name? Stark. That's not the Stark girl I wanted to see naked.
Oh, you.
You got to see her kind of with Ramsay.
Yeah. A little.
That was hot.
Well, I was going to say, what were you wanting Tony Stark naked? Is that
no? We don't want Tony Stark naked. Ramsay Bolton. Oh, is that his name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was a tender man. He made love gently.
He did.
And he really knew what a woman wanted. I liked the conversation.
I'm really into being shot by a bow and arrow.
There was a lot of funny stuff with Tormund, though.
Yes. Tormund was great.
Oh, my God. That was the best comic relief the show has ever given me.
The giant's milk?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She thought I was her baby. I was screaming.
I liked the dialogue between Bran and Jaime as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Bran's just like, well, I can't tell them. They'll kill you. And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The things we do for love. Shut up, Bran.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jaime said when he pushed him out the window.
Right.
Yeah.
The things we do for love.
Yep.
Like walking in the rain and the snow.
Was that the song we were listening to?
He gets up from his wheelchair.
No.
Yeah.
He starts doing a little dance.
What song were we listening to? No, we...
Yeah, we will be.
What song will we hear when we're on hold with Matt Servito later? It was a...
Chicago.
It was Chicago.
Wanna him to hear me say it.
No one needs you more than I need. So, yeah.
And then they ratchet up. No one needs you more than I...
It sucks that...
What else happened in
there's that? There's only four episodes left now.
No. What happened on Game of Thrones?
Wait a minute. There's only four?
Yeah. There's six episodes total of the final season. Six episodes.
Are these going to be longer?
This next one, the Battle of Winterfell, is an hour and 22 minutes long.
So it's actually going to be a battle, not just... Yeah. I figured they'd go to Cersei.
I heard like the next two are going to be like 90 minutes each.
Yeah.
Wow. Shit. I wonder what's going to happen. What do you guys... Predictions for next week then, Autumn?
Next week's just going to be the Battle of...
Yeah, but...
He said Autumn.
Yeah.
Sorry. My name's Autumn, too.
Vaginas only.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't know. I mean, exactly what's going to happen next week. Oh, except for we're definitely losing Grey Worm.
Okay.
Right? Because he was like, I can't wait to be on the beach with you one day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, bye.
Does he not have a penis?
No, he's castrated.
No, he doesn't have testicles.
Oh, so he can still screw, though.
Well, just like Viserys?
He's an actual gelding.
No, but he doesn't have nuts.
But I thought he didn't have a dick either.
Well, yes, he has a dick. Well, okay, so
I don't know how that whole
once.
Thing works.
I looked this up. Like, he's castrated, right?
He's a castrati.
They cut his balls off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's just their balls. So I think that there are some different schools of thought in the Game of Thrones universe as to what that means. But So I'm not exactly sure, but I think that it means nobody has balls.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I don't really know if this is going to happen, but I love the idea that at the very end, it's going to be someone taking the throne that we're like the audience is very disappointed by.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's actually Arya and she's the faceless one and she takes off a mask and it's really her.
Oh,
wouldn't that be so much fun?
Yes.
I don't think that that's really going to happen, but I just love
her
that idea.
And Gendry could work together to get.
Well, and
Gendry,
you know what?
Gendry is an heir to the throne.
He's an heir
he
to
sure
the
is.
Throne.
And
well, I don't
and
watch what, it, but you know what I heard?
What?
I heard at the end, they're going to zoom into the Iron Throne and then they're, snow's going to fall, and then they're going to zoom out, and it's going to be a snow globe.
Yeah, and it's the end of St. Elsewhere.
God. Yeah, exactly. What a disappointment. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right.
I remember. I watched that.
The Onion Knight? I forget what his name is.
Onion Knight?
Yeah, the one that was...
Shrek.
was with... Fuck. What's his name? Oh, my God. Okay. He's the one that was befriending that little daughter that guy who wanted the throne killed because the Red Witch told him to do
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, I know. She had that
the guy that, like, she
thing.
Taught him how to read.
Yeah.
Okay, so that guy, he said a long time ago in sort of a prophetic way that what if a queen and just a regular man ruled the Seven Kingdoms?
Mm-hmm.
And that might be, like, Arya and Gendry.
But Gendry isn't just a regular man. He's a bastard. So
no, but he is a regular man.
That's true.
Oh, and that whole thing about Cersei, the witch.
Yeah.
Telling her what her life was going to be. So far, everything has come true.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the predictions was that she was going to be killed by her younger brother. And she's always thought of that as
Tyrion.
But she was born first.
Right. So.
And so. Jamie is actually her younger brother. And you thought that, like, and so the other witch also said that she would be queen for a while, but then she would be overtaken by a more beautiful woman would come around or whatever.
Well, then I guess it's not going to be Arya.
Sansa.
Well, they thought it was going to be what's her face, the smirky boobs, smirky face boobs.
Oh, smirky face boobs. I know who you're talking about. Joffrey's wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sansa.
No.
Smirky face boobs, the one that, like, had a smirk all the time, was like, you can have me or you can have my brother.
Oh, the one that she blew up with the green stuff?
Yes. Yeah. So, they thought it was going to be her, but it's not. Right. She's gone. And maybe they meant, what's the blonde tall lady's name that just became a knight by Jamie?
Phantasma.
Yeah, Captain Phantasma.
Yes, Captain Phantasma, because she's beautiful on the inside. And even Catelyn Stark said that, like, you have beautiful eyes and she's a beautiful person full of honor. And
well, she's also pretty. I think she's an attractive lady.
Well, she is a model
in
real life.
Yeah,
but
she's a beautiful lady.
On the show, she's a beautiful person.
Yeah.
So
I liked her speech. in this last episode. Yeah, I liked her. I've liked her character the whole.
I'd knight you 10 times over.
Yeah, he's in love with her, isn't he?
Yeah, always has been.
Is the big woman still here?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about next week's episode after it airs and or whatever.
Well, next week we're going to talk to Dave and Henry.
Yeah. So we might not have a lot of time.
That'll probably be the whole episode. But then the following week, we got Mike Hall coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get
a special guest.
Yeah, we're trying to get a special guest coming in who's really into Game of Thrones also. So right. We'll talk about it a lot on that episode.
Sweet.
Cool. And then like we hinted at. Mm-hmm.
But it won't be over then. There'll still be two episodes left. So
sweet.
We can all speculate still.
We're looking at a sub-podcast of Radio Labyrinth because we're starting a network. So we're thinking about adding people who want to be part of the Radio Labyrinth network, and more on that when we know more. Let's see. So, I don't know. Jeff, why are you pissed off at this commercial where the dog comes in?
You kind of got to watch the commercial.
I did watch it.
Did you?
So explain why you're mad. What is this?
It's a dog food commercial.
All right.
And it starts off with this little girl, and they're going, she's going, oh, time for more treatment. And
so she's cancer.
Something's wrong with her. She's a sick little girl.
She's in a hospital.
And she sticks her arm out like such a little trooper, like, oh, God, they're going to come and stick me with the needles. And they go, today we're going to do something different. And they bring a dog in, and they let her pet the dog. I'm like, that is such a shitty way to sell dog food.
Yeah, it is.
Like playing on the heartstrings of a sick little kid.
It would have been better if the if like a chuck wagon had burst through the door.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah!
I use DVR mostly, and I watch a lot of stuff on premium channels. So I don't watch a lot of commercials, but I just happened to see this commercial, and pissed me off so much. I was like, I have never been this pissed at a commercial before.
You're like, this dog food gives my dog diarrhea, but that little girl's so brave.
Yeah.
Good morning. More treatment. We're going to try something different today.
Oh, so pretty.
Dogs bring out the good in us. Pedigree brings out the good in them.
It reminded me of the other night I was out in my carport meditating, as I do most evenings. I meditate and contemplate life.
You just like getting that downward dog position and
No, I call it sitting on the park bench hoping the neighbor doesn't catch me meditating. And
your meditation has that weird smell too. You use those aromatherapy candles.
Yeah, the aromatherapy smells like hash. No, I came up with this idea the other night. You know that they have all these shows now on ABC, all these network shows about doctors. You know, there's the internist or whatever his name is, who's like, screw it, the government, blah blah blah.
I'm breaking hospital protocol.
And then there's the other one, the good doctor, which it's just they're dangling it in front of you, going, make fun of it, go ahead. Yeah, he's autistic. Go ahead, call him the retarded doctor. Which you can't, because you'll get in a lot of trouble.
Is that how you feel?
Do you know what I'm talking about, that show?
Yes, I do. But
that is ridiculous.
Isn't there like a whole string of them? The good doctor, the good wife, the good...
Well, the good wife's a good show. It was a good show.
Autistic wife.
I'm leaving.
Yeah. I can't tell what you need from me.
Right. I have Asperger's. But anyway, I'm not making fun of it. But my point is they have this show where the doctor has autism, and it looks kind of severe.
That could happen where like a doctor could... You could become a doctor if you had autism.
Asperger.
But
You wouldn't
be a surgeon, and you wouldn't be operating on people.
Like he does. Yeah. So I have an idea for a show called Dr. Shepherd, and it's just a dog. It's a German Shepherd. And you use all those same tropes in the promo with the slow music. They do. And then the dog's like, when he's surgery.
He doesn't even speak English.
He's just a dog.
Yeah. You can't bring a dog into this operating
thing. You get Triumph the dog. And
No. This is a real dog. You can't bring a dog. That's one of the things I thought. You can't bring a dog in here. Just watch me.
Yeah. Like, show me in the hospital rules where it says we can't bring a dog in here.
Sit. Then he does surgery. He just tears into him with his teeth. I don't know. It just came to me while I was meditating. Dr. Shepherd.
Dr. Shepherd.
Sexual chocolate. So let's see. Let's talk about what we've been watching and do our step picks here. I've been watching Fosse Verdon. Have you guys?
Is that the Fosse thing?
Yeah, it's fucking good.
Ooh, with Michelle something or other?
I'm a big fan of Sam Rockwell, and I keep meaning to check it out, but I haven't yet. He's going to do it.
He is so good as Bob Fosse. And she,
where is it?
It's on FX.
Is it FX?
Oh, I'm writing it down, baby.
And I watched it, and then I went over to Sean and Mike TV's house. And Mike TV has all the dances. They show you the choreography of... of them putting together, you know, they do the cabaret and Damn Yankees and
this
shit.
This was one of the things that was on Documentary Now, wasn't it? That big musical that got canceled the first night. Wasn't that like a Bob Fosse thing?
I don't know.
I think it was.
I don't know. But they show them working together, and then you can actually go to YouTube and watch the real choreographed pieces with the actress. You know, and it's a real good show. I didn't even know anything about it, and we just decided to watch it one night. And it's good. And we're also watching Black Summer, which is, I can only watch one or two episodes at a time. It's a good show. It's intense.
I binged the whole thing in one day.
Yeah, a lot of people have done that. It's a zombie show on Netflix. And it just starts with, you don't know why it started. And, and they're more like the zombies from 28 Days Later than
the fast ones.
Yeah. And they have some intelligence to them. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I'm going to have to look it up.
Check that out.
If you have Netflix,
I'm all
check
about
it out.
Some rage zombies.
Did you watch World War? Not World War Z, but Z Nation was on Sci-Fi.
I didn't.
That was the.
I've seen some of.
Yeah, it was a very tongue-in-cheek zombie show. But those people that made that show are making this Black Summer, and they're taking the whole genre seriously now.
Yeah, and it's shot in Alberta, Calgary, Alberta. Mm-hmm. So it's all flat and expansive. But the only thing that ever bothers me about these zombie shows is they never tell you how it starts.
Yeah, well,
I want to know how the fucking shit starts. Anyway, so check that out.
So you can prevent it for later.
Right. I finished season one of Cobra Kai, which was, a year ago, but loved it. Season two comes out today as we record this. Tomorrow. Yeah, today's the 24th, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. So it's out now, and it's worth it. It is a good show.
How much is that YouTube premium?
I don't know, like $8.99
$12 a month?
Something like that. Yeah, I signed up for it. I don't like commercials, and I don't like when you're watching something and another app on your phone, YouTube shuts down, but if you pay, it won't do that.
Yeah, so it doesn't. It's awesome.
If you pay now, when you go to watch a video, you don't have to sit through that 5 seconds of crap?
None.
Right.
Wow. Not
that'd
any
be worth it.
Yeah, that's the main reason. Yeah. That and then the reality shows or whatever the shows they have on there, but it's
I
good.
Don't look at
they
any
canceled
of that.
A
I
bunch just... of those YouTube premium shows like that Champaign, Illinois.
Yeah, I don't know. I just I got it. Mace. Basically, I pay for YouTube, so I don't have commercials, and so it'll keep working when I go look at another app,
right. Mm-hmm.
And then I can watch Cobra Kai. I watched The Legend of Cocaine Island. Did you guys see that on Netflix?
Beth Van Oswick.
Recommended it.
Recommended it. I haven't checked it out yet. I put it on my list.
It's good. It's they're just like doofuses who find cocaine and get, I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's worth it. We already talked about Game of Thrones. Have yet to watch this week's Barry or What We Do in the Shadows, so we can't.
Yeah. You didn't watch this week's Barry?
No, I haven't yet.
It was great.
Oh. I'm going to tonight or tomorrow.
When did it? That last line of the show?
Ah.
It was great.
Do not spoil it.
I don't know. Did I say this last week?
What?
I get such a great TV boner when I watch Barry.
Yep.
Like, oh, I just want to keep watching.
Yep. Yeah.
I wish it was an hour long.
Henry Winkler has that effect on me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one, but I love, what's his name, John?
Bill Hader?
Bill Hader.
Yeah.
I love his Dateline impersonation. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Yeah. He's one of the best impressionists out there.
It's so interesting to see him as this character. He does such a great job as Barry when you know that he's this like affable, funny guy.
Right. Yeah. Like when that dude shows up and
don't spoil it.
I'm not
going
to spoil anything, but just the look on his face when that dude shows up and he goes from like nice regular Barry to Barry. Mm-hmm.
Dark Barry.
Yeah. And it's just the dude Barry fucking deserves that Emmy, man.
And then I watched the show that you guys have probably all seen, Bon Appetit.
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
I saw
it's a new host now. How did you like that guy?
The guy from, what's his name?
I forget what his name is.
Oh, God, we're dumb. I had to fucking look it up because I like the female host. She's been on it a while, right?
Yeah.
She's like a cannabis chocolatier.
Yeah.
Chocolatier.
And what about
how you say it?
Chocolatier?
The dude, too, that I like, maybe that's more like the person who cheers for chocolate. Rye. The guy that knows everything about all the weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
The first episode of this season had Kevin Gillespie.
Right.
From Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta chef, yep.
The guy's name is Abdullah Saeed, but that's not his real name.
No, I think it's a new guy now.
God damn it. Why can't I? Why can't you remember things? Why do I have to be the
one? It's because you meditate in your shed.
Abdullah was the host for the first two seasons or three seasons.
Well, who's the rapper from that fucking band?
Yeah, I don't know.
The white rapper, something D, something T. Now, people are listening to this going, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, they're hitting their steering wheels.
Vanilla Ice.
Huh? No, it's not Vanilla Ice. God, why isn't it on their IMDb page? I fucking hate it. Why don't I know this?
Anyway, it's a cool show.
Nope, we're not moving on until I...
It's Snow. He wants to lick your boom boom down.
Nope, not that
guy. Oh, that guy?
Be Real.
Yeah.
Be Real.
Oh, my God. You know who Be Real is, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, what band was he in?
Nicky Boom Boom Down.
No. Cypress Hill. Cypress Hill. There we go. It's not Licky Boom Boom Down. Good show, though. They just make shit with weed. And then they had the guy from The Sopranos who was, Johnny Cakes. He's an actual chef.
Right.
And Vito. Big fat guy. But he was really cool. Good show, if you like
weed. Yeah, that show's good.
Interesting show. And then, of course, the thing that Jeff got me into that I'm like, why? I'm going to now go back and watch Detroiters because...
There you go.
I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson is the funniest fucking show I've seen in years.
Yeah.
The first 10 seconds I started laughing. I'm like, I'm going to watch this show. I made it through three last night.
I watched every single episode. They're only like 15 minutes long, and there's only six of them.
My God. And the people on there, Vanessa Bayer was in.
Like, Vanessa Bayer, Cecily Strong.
Strong.
Will Forte.
The very first scene, I think he's applying for a job. He's at a job interview.
It's at a Starbucks. He's doing a job interview at a Starbucks. And then he like goes to leave, and it's a push door instead of a pull door.
And he goes, no, sometimes it opens.
But he tries to pull it instead of pushing it. And the dude that was interviewing him says, I think it's a push door, not a pull door. And not wanting to look bad for the interview, he goes, no, it goes both ways. It goes both in at push and pull. And so he just
strains and rips the door off. Drool coming out of his mouth. And that sets the tone. It's a funniest shit show. Now, so that's all I got. Again, my stat pick is Cobra Kai season 2. Those are stuff we left out.
Yeah, last week my stat pick was that I think you should leave with Tim Robinson, and I'm so glad. It's so good. I wish there was more of them. I watched What We Do in the Shadows, which we can't talk about.
I'll be caught up next week. I love that show.
Yeah. I watched that.
Huh?
I was going to say I haven't seen the show yet, but I love the movie.
Yeah, the show does the movie justice, and they have some interesting characters on there. What is that kind of vampire that guy is? He's not a real...
He's an emotional vampire.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Did they bring back the werewolves?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have werewolves.
No.
They had a big feud with them a couple episodes ago.
Because they're pissing on their plants and stuff. Do you have a staff pick this week? Or
I was going to recommend to watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions on HBO this the 27th. I think that's Saturday. Because The Cure's getting in.
Oh, yeah. Jeff's a big Cure fan.
Be pretty good. And Anthony Jeselnik's Netflix special comes out on the 30th.
Fire in the Maternity Ward.
Dude cracks me up.
Yeah. I liked him on Crashing.
And he's got that podcast too that I subscribe, so I get it every couple of weeks when it comes out, but I've only listened to a couple of them, but they're very funny.
Speaking of podcasts, another staff pick would be to check out Jared Yamamoto, who I did listen
to the first episode of Jared's podcast.
That called? The
Power Pod.
You can find that on all your favorite podcatchers. Jared is the producer of the Von Hessler Doctrine, of which Autumn and I are the shining stars.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed Jared gets the official radio station letters in his logo and everything.
Well, he's because it's produced or it's on the Cox Media.
Yeah, guess what? He can't sell it himself. Ha! That's not funny. Autumn, how about you?
Well, I talked about Alt Shift X on YouTube, where you can take like deep dives and recaps of Game of Thrones. But I also started watching this page on YouTube called Crash Course.
Right.
And it's a condensed sort of summary of a bunch of different subjects, but I've been watching the one about European history because I don't know anything about history. I know if I was to build a human body that was history, I might be able to put some bones together, but I couldn't make a complete skeleton. So
what was the one on European history about?
It was about the plague,
okay,
the Hundred Years' War, which was actually 116 years.
Right.
And there was a third thing.
Okay.
And it was really good.
It made a mark on you, didn't it?
The Renaissance? Maybe it was about the Renaissance.
Yeah, you can take care of that in 2 minutes. One of the take a deep dive into the history of Germany. There's a good documentary on YouTube how they weren't really a country until the 19th century, but they were the Holy Roman Empire.
Mm.
So that's pretty interesting how that whole thing happened. But you got to be really into history to dig that.
Well, there's some other really cool. I think I watched some things about. I think I might have talked about it on here about like World War II. I watched a thing about World War One and World War Two.
You guys are like learning shit. I'm over here watching Scarlett Johansson eat hot wings in a crop top.
On what?
On Hot Ones.
Oh,
hot
shit. Ones. I got to watch that.
Yeah.
Oh, now you're spoiling in games.
They tried to get, they you know, do you ever see Hot Ones? They make them eat these 10 hot wings.
They get progressively hotter.
Yeah, and like when your endorphins kick in, that's when they try and get her to like.
I actually watched that the other day. I watched the episode with Bill Burr.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's Bill Burr. One.
That's a great one.
What is this show called?
Hot
it's called
Ones.
Hot Ones.
On what?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, just look up
and
Hot Ones.
Bert Kreischer's done a couple of them, and
they just eat hot wings.
Yeah. Well, they
start off. They have like 10. And
yeah,
they
have
like,
10. They get hotter and hotter as they go.
And each one goes up to like.
Yeah, but you're a girl. Nobody was listening.
Yeah, no one was listening. Oh, go ahead and explain it.
Well, when a man explains
something, it to us,
you get the emphasis better.
You're right. Oh, yeah.
But that's
yeah.
the kind of shit I watch on YouTube.
I love YouTube. I like Pornhub too, but no, I don't. I don't watch anything on that.
So I follow all these drag queens on Twitter.
Yeah.
And when they like something, it will show up in my feed as someone liked it.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's like extremely explicit gay porn.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah, so that is
thanks
new for me.
Yeah, that's what you need your alt Twitter for.
I think you could shut that.
Well, I kind of
like a setting.
It.
Yeah, but if you put the sensitive setting on, then everything gets blocked. Seth, do you have a staff pick? Anything you could recommend that you want to recommend?
Well, I'm kind of behind everybody, but I just got done watching The Umbrella Academy.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, I pretty much watched it all in one day. Cause
yeah, you like it?
I'm just like, I'll just watch one more. I'll just,
right.
I loved it.
They're an hour long, so it takes me a little longer to binge them. But I'm about halfway through the season. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. Tim refuses to watch it because of Juno. What's her name?
Oh, Ellen Page?
Ellen Page, yeah.
Well, but it's can't good. Help it's worth watching. Actress.
Yeah, I don't agree there.
I love that show, and I've been watching Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol, cool.
I don't have whatever it is you need to watch Doom Patrol. Is that Hulu?
I don't know. I think it's the DC subscription.
Right, that's what it is.
I don't watch it.
I watched.
That. I just
they gave the first one for free, and I watched it, and I loved it.
Check out the Boys trailer on YouTube. Yeah, I can't wait for that show.
That's going to be on Amazon.
The comic book's amazing. So
yeah, the Boys looks really good too. That's coming this summer, I think.
One of our patrons at Radio Labyrinth's Patreon page is Beth Van Elswick. She says, "Watch the Billboard Boys on Amazon." For some, the documentary will be about a radio contest held in Allentown, PA, and the antics of three guys on a billboard. However, for those of us that lived through those hard economic times and the Rust Belt,
yeah.
This movie represents a memory, a piece of our history, and why we should all relate to these guys and cheer them on. I'm going to check that out because it's radio related, and Beth hasn't sold us.
Yeah, she hasn't
a bad bill of goods lately.
All her suggestions have been great.
If you would like to submit a staff pick. Yeah, then you can go to patreon.com/TimAndrews and join at the $10 level. You get that and you get our special movie club podcast that's only released through Patreon.
And our next movie is going to be The Karate Kid.
Woo!
Yeah, right.
And our next...
Stupid bike! I hate the stupid bike!
I hate this bike! So we'll have some fun with that, Karate Kid. And I decided on the next casting call as well is going to be 37 Dicks.
Yeah.
In a row?
Yeah, that. From nice. Clerks, so we haven't decided on the voices yet.
I know I can't. I don't do any male voices.
Well, we'll flip it around. We'll figure something else out.
Yeah. Maybe I like it.
So be looking for that much sooner than the last time we delivered them. We'll get them done for you.
And that's only at the dollar level. So right. You just have to donate $1 a month.
Speaking of Patreon, welcome our newest patron this week. Walt Murray joined us. And he is, of course, the co-host of the Wilder Ride podcast.
Are you playing their promo on this week's episode?
I am playing it on this pod.
I listened. That promo came out in their podcast feed.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to record our own promo for other people. And I'm also going to put that Avengers one in, unless it's expired.
No, it's do it for this week, and I think it goes until May.
You let them know so we can get some plugs, too.
I will, but you need to record one for them, too.
All right. Autumn, you want to write a promo for us? Thanks.
Yeah, what?
Mm-hmm. You're smart. You can write.
Dear promo.
Okay.
I sent you that text that I sent to Hardwick, which also didn't make it on his podcast again this week.
He hates me.
I didn't mention anybody's names. Except for I mentioned the names of like Eddie Pepitone and Dana Snyder. And,
those are the names that he would.
Yeah, and I thought he would say, you know, that these are people that I know and like.
Well, resend that to me and I'll record it. God, there was one more thing I wanted to say before we split. What was
thank you, Shane, for coming in.
Oh, yeah.
On short
thank
notice.
You, Shane. And thank you to Matt Servito, who we didn't really do a so it's just going to be on somewhere in between this whole giant segment. You will have heard Matt Servito. So thank you to Matt Servito. Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, May 3rd, season 4 debuts. There was one more thing I wanted to say.
We're
going to
have Dave and Henry next week, hopefully. We're still trying to nail down Dave for sure. But I think Henry's definitely lined up as far as a phone interview.
Right on. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Thank you to all of our listeners. And until next week, remember to keep it canon.
Hey, radios. Thank you so much for listening to Radio Labyrinth. I just wanted to just give a quick shout out to everyone who's donating on Patreon. And if you're not a Patreon donator, please go check out our page, patreon.com/Tim Andrews, and check out a bunch of the cool payment tiers that we have that you can donate for us. We have our movie club that's coming up. The next one's going to be Karate Kid. Very exciting. And our casting call. You can get custom illustrations from Tim, which are really, really neat. And we're going to start posting some of those so you can sort of see what to expect. And it's going to be really neat. So go check out patreon.com/Tim Andrews. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Aaron Roberts, Aaron Williams, Adam Kelly, Al McMeekin, Alan Barker, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Hopkins, Andrew Mulazzi, Beth Van Elswick, Bill Crumpton, Brennan Price, Brian Jackson, Buck Monterey, Chad Shepard, Chris Constantino, Chris Knight, Chris Metzler, Chris Weiland, Colin Oman, Dan Carroll, Daniel Pitts, David C. Funk, Daniel Poole, Debbie McDonald, and Dennis Renholtz. I can't do it. Dustin Lawler, Emily Warren, Eric Malmstrom, Garrett Kimball, Gwen Ketchum, Irv Lamb, Ian Stull, Jason Chappell, Jeff Peterson, Jeremy Turman, Jessica, just Jessica, she's like Madonna, John Sutherland, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Kevin Stokes, Kit Batty, Lauren Calderman, Leslie Haney, Leslie Norman, Lou Caniglio, Mark Piero, Mark Weiland, Matt Carter, Mike D., Mike Hall, Mike Spittler, Nicholas Frank, Robert Calderman, Robert Haley, Ruben Aguilar, Rusty Weinberg, Ryan O'Connor, Sam Wells, Seth Ingram, Sean Hall, Sherry Doherty, Trent Walt, Murray, Wayne Blair, and Wendy Muller. Thank you, everyone who is donating. We love you. We couldn't do it without you. Keep it canon.